Welcome to Thinking Deeply About Primary Education, the podcast that makes time and space to think about pedagogy, teaching and learning, professional development, anything of interest to time-poor but enthusiasm-rich primary teachers. This week, I'm joined by Lydia Grove. Hi, Lydia. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
Really, really pleased to have you here. We are, at the minute, exploring becoming teachers who write, and you are an editor at Teach Primary. I don't know if it makes sense for you to start off. You know, how did you get into the world of education publishing? Was it by design or was it by fate?
It was a bit of a bit of both, maybe. So I actually come from a science background, and my first, but I always loved reading and books, and started off in science, and then moved into academic publishing, and then as I trained as an editor, proofreader. And then moved into school books from there and school publishing. So I've worked with schools and children's publishing for just nearly 20 years now, which is a bit bit scary. But yeah, so in all sorts of fields.
Why is it important for teachers to write about their craft?
I think it's to do mostly with what is important day to day for teachers, that cold face thing, what is happening in the classroom in the light of what has happened in the wider society recently, what's happened in the news, what is affecting children, and what is working for you with your class, and what could you share that makes life easier for other teachers and helps them to be better teachers as well.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, life in the classroom moves quickly, and the experience of teachers now and in the past is you almost get to the point where they're not really comparable anymore. So, you know, I'm very keen to hear from teachers.
Yeah, and I think you know, obviously everyone has, like, there are ranges of invaluable resources and teaching resources printed as books, but that is, you know, as you say, time moves on, and you want that sort of immediacy as well of how can you use resources today, and how will children engage with those today as well, and what will help you to do that.
Crazy when you think about it, because I think if, say, you left teaching or left the classroom just even 2 years ago, 3 years ago,
you different world.
You wouldn't have experienced the early career framework and coaching people through that and stuff. And so then your point of reference becomes.
Yeah. And even just the terminology. Yeah. You know, like, even if teachers even doing the same things, but, you know, it's called different things and, you know, approached in different ways. And yeah, it's the constant change and curriculum changes and so forth. Although it's been a while, hasn't it? We must be due.
Don't say that. Don't say, because you know what's around the corner. Language is really important, because there's been a deliberate effort to codify, you know, like you said, things that we've been doing for a while, but here's the language that all new teachers can use to describe what it is they're doing. So I think you're absolutely spot on. What type of articles do your magazines look for?
So our main thing that we look for in anything we publish is that it's interesting and useful. So it's going to be of use to teachers in the classroom, wider educational professionals, but that it's practical, and each article someone's going to come away with something that they can think about and use or debate about. You know, some, obviously we have opinion pieces as well, but, you know, we want something that's going to engage people, and they're going to think about, actually, is that, you know, an interesting way of looking at it, or an interesting way of thinking about a problem. And then, yeah, ultimately, most of our content, we want it to be useful in the classroom to help people teach at the end of the day.
In the past, I've been asked to do helpful pieces, and they've been turned into opinion pieces because I can't.
Yeah, they're not helpful enough. But yeah, so and just to cover what we do publish. So we have quite structured items like lesson plans, medium term plans, and then we have sort of activity ideas and so a range of features, so more loosely structured features, and yeah, as you say, and the sort of broader opinion pieces without perhaps the nitty-gritty that the more detailed items have.
Nice. And I mean, if people want to look for examples, most of the you can find online, is that right?
Teachwire.com. So I'm guessing you'll have in the information for this the website and other contact details for us as well, but yeah, everything's online at teachwire.com.
Nice, yeah. Because sometimes I'll go back and have a look.
It's a
I
great
recently
resource.
did a lesson plan, and I was looking at, I think, some examples of how other people approached that in the past. Because yeah.
Yeah, and all of our back catalogue on Teachwire is free to download. And you can, yeah, download PDFs of lesson plans, worksheets, medium term plans, waggles as well, what a good one looks like. So lots of those, which are popular. So yeah, loads of stuff on there.
Yeah, so there's lots that teachers can write about. And so it's essentially, what am I doing right now? Will this be helpful for other people? Here's some examples of how other people have explained their thinking. I think, yeah, planning in particular, really, really interesting because not everybody plans the same. And so really helpful. How do teachers get a foot on the ladder? Should they wait to be approached or can they be proactive?
Oh, definitely be proactive. You can contact me on Twitter, or by email, and yeah, I won't say the addresses because I'll get the wrong and everyone will send them. But yeah, if you contact me on Twitter, by email, or just you can also tweet Teach Primary as well. We've got a separate account on there as well. And yeah, I'm always looking for new ideas. And I think one thing I've noticed is that people aren't always confident in their own expertise. And so, and I've noticed that with a few recent contributors actually, where they're really good at what they do, but they've never have thought of sharing their expertise in such a formal way. So yeah, if you are teaching and you have a good idea, and you there's something that you just think, oh, I've used this really successfully, the kids loved it, or the kids learned a lot, then yes, drop us a line. And that's definitely the way to do it, rather than us approaching. We will approach you, I will approach people, but yeah, definitely be proactive as well.
Nice. I'll make sure all the relevant Twitter accounts are tagged into the episode announcement Saturday. I mean, last week, Lisa Grace Wilson said email up to 5 times if you have to,
Oh,
because
definitely.
your
It's
inbox is.
very hectic as well. So if I don't get back to you the next day, it's nothing personal. We've got a very busy schedule. And it might be also that what we often do is we'll see something interesting and log it for a future issue, and maybe get back to you in a month or three, and say, yeah, actually now we've looked at this again and this could be really useful for, we have a limited number of pages in the print magazine, so it's a bit of a bit of a fight for what we put in there. But yeah, we've always got one eye on possible content for the future.
Nice. I mean, that's not something teachers are good at, is pushing themselves forward.
No,
That's
no.
not our like the necessary skills for being a teacher. It's almost like your default is a bit more relaxed and, you know.
And I think, yeah, I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect also you get sort of in the classroom is a separate thing almost to your external persona. I think I know a lot of people who are teachers have that kind of switch of, yeah, okay, this is my teacher persona and this is my, mum persona, or, and they just very different views and very different opinions of yourself, I think, in a way. So yeah, definitely break your expertise out of the classroom.
Yeah, big time. I quite like the way our conversations happen over an extended period of time. You know, it's almost, especially in the classroom, you've got many emails too. So having that kind of, oh, we're having this conversation over the course of a month or so is really, I think, helpful for teachers too. Are there any common pitfalls that new authors fall into? And if so, how can they avoid them?
I think one thing is losing sight of what you're writing about. So if you are writing, I mean, one thing to state is don't be put off if you're not a writer, a natural writer, if you think that you might be not up to the task. Send us the thing anyway, because that's our job, to edit it, tidy it up, make it more readable. So don't be put off by that. But when you are writing, I would say one thing that people sometimes lose sight of is the sort of the very core of what they're writing about. So it's actually quite useful. So we give everybody a word count because we have obviously a certain amount of space. Keep that in mind, because actually trying to fit what you're trying to say in a small number of words works really well for getting rid of what's not necessary to your argument. So yeah, it's going to be most impactful for the reader if it's, in the magazine format, if it's presented very, very clearly, straight up, in your face, this is what I'm talking about. So yeah, just bear that in mind, I would say to new contributors. Just are you expressing what you want to say in a really clear, accessible, immediate way? Definitely.
Yeah, I think the word crunch is really helpful because I will typically maybe write double and then ask myself, right, okay,
Oh, okay.
what is not necessary here? And it's tough to cut stuff that you think, oh yeah, this sounds pretty good.
Yeah, particularly if you've spent time formulating those thoughts. And yeah, and we find that, I mean, we will get a lot of things in over the word count, and you really, it is because, like, I had an article I was editing yesterday, and it was all so good, but it was 250 words more than I could fit in the magazine, and it was a bit painful to cut those words because they were good words, but they just weren't going to fit on 2 pages. Yeah, it's a struggle.
Yeah, I think it's really beneficial for teachers because we've almost been having this really long conversation on the podcast about what good writing is and what we should be promoting to our children, and doing it for yourself, you can get into the mind of, what is it for these children to be really effective writers? Because thinking about primary mathematics, I might have been 20,000 words over the limit, but more recently, after having this conversation, I've been going through that process of, okay, let's make this really lean. I think it can be really helpful in the classroom as well as.
Yeah, just really, yeah, f just helping you to focus on that, really, the very most important thing of what you want to say at the end of the day.
For all of you, Kofi, Kofi, Kofufu, however you pronounce it, you damn lovely supporters. It's a song going out to you. Here we go. Nikki Anna P. Seth D. Stephanie Taylor, Mrs. B. Esatea, Adam KT, Liv Dempsey, Becca Jenfred, Susie Brown, Sio Necio, Rachel I am Mount, Jessica Tom Oakley, Tom Brassington, Jessica Tom Oakley, Tom Brassington, LJ, and last but not least, my lovely little Amy Bill. So they help us pay the bills. Ooh. A massive thank you out to Dabe family. Kofi supporters help us keeping it ad free. There's far more content coming just round the bend. Thank you all for helping our very special friends. Friends. Very special friends.
I mean, I'm assuming your editorial team will meet and plan out what the sort of the next edition, the edition after that's going to be. What
Yes.
sort of themes do they have? So if people are thinking about the kind of things they should be writing about.
Yeah, so we have each issue we have our core items in every issue. So we'll have lesson plans and that can be on anything, opinion pieces that can be on anything. And then each issue has a different sort of special edition as well. So we've just sent our music edition to press, so that's out later this week. Next issue is going to be health and well-being, and then we've got school trips is one special. We have STEM special, humanities. Yeah, that's so we're always looking ahead for what will fit into those special editions or the particular themes. So, if we've got Earth Day coming up, Shakespeare Month, we want to try and get people to get that content ahead of, obviously ahead of those months as well, those events as well. Yeah, and we also, I should say, every edition has teach reading and writing section within Teach Primary. So yeah, we've always got literacy in there, so we're always, looking for new literacy content as well.
Yeah, I think that the teaching of reading and writing is very, very popular. Certainly when you look at the episodes that we do, that you get quite a big response to that. So it must be something that's on people's minds all the time. Could then people look at the, I don't know, the school calendar and those days and those months and those weeks that come up and think, actually, there might be something 3 months down the line here that I could propose and stuff
Yeah,
with.
six months, even a year ahead of time, I'm happy to for people to get, yeah, but certainly, yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of people contact me with items that, like recently, that were sort of 3 months ahead, and yeah, that works. We do have a fairly long period between submission and print, so yeah. So it's good to plan ahead if you are having an idea of something, if there's something that you would like to share and it's a timely subject topic, then yeah, send it well ahead, or send the idea well ahead, and we'll see if we can fit it in.
I will quite often forget that I've submitted something and then.
It yeah, you'll know, it takes a while sometimes, doesn't it? And we also, if something happens that, you know, we suddenly want to put something into the magazine, we will shunt other content out until later issues if it's of a less immediate nature, definitely. So if something suddenly comes up in the news, then unfortunately your opinion piece might be moved on to the next issue.
Yeah, I normally wait for Lloyd, my one of our friends and contributors, to send me a
Say,
photograph from
well,
his
there you
staff.
are.
He's, oh, look at this. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that article. That's, oh, that's really good. What are the hallmarks of a really well-constructed article?
I think it being really clear immediately what it's going to be about. So not too much. I'm, you know, talking about the general 1 or 2 page format of our article. Certainly, we don't want to present to the reader straight away, this is why this is interesting, this is how it's going to be of interest and use to you. So we don't want too much preamble. You know, it's nice to obviously pull people in and set the scene, but not at great length. We want them to get into the article quite quickly and get to the useful stuff as soon as they can. Yeah, and just thinking about structure, I mean, maybe I think about what you tell the children, you know, about, is there a beginning, middle, and end? You know, what are you, have you got subheadings? Do you need subheadings just to explain what you're talking about? And yeah, just a nicely structured article that has a beginning, gets to the chase, explains very clearly what it's about and what the benefit is for the reader, or what the thinking and talking point is for the reader. And then yeah, just a little neat wrap up. So okay, this is what I've wanted to say, and this is why it's important, why I think it's important. Yeah, I think that's, it's that clarity of delivering the message clearly is important, I think.
And so, would you place clarity of expression over almost rhetorical devices and prose?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's what we want our articles to be, engaging and entertaining, not too dry. So, you know, having those little devices obviously helps make it more lively to read. But yes, I think if you get too carried away in the actual writing, you can lose the message, and then the reader can drift off as well and just think, well, you know, why this is lovely, but why am I reading this? So yeah, I think it's that balance between making it, writing it in such a way that it's engaging and a pleasure to read, but yeah, you know, it's a professional magazine and people want to take useful information from it.
Yeah, and you also know that your audience will be marking your homework as they read it. It'll be a tough time.
Yeah, so but as I say again, I mean, don't feel that you have to send us a publishable article. We'll go through, we'll correct the spelling, we'll, as you'll be aware, we'll potentially you know, move everything around, and say, actually, this would work better in a different format. We're happy to do that, as long as your ideas and your general presentation of those ideas work, we can polish it, certainly.
And sometimes the online version is different to the
Yes,
in
usually it's
print
usually
version.
different. So because of the people read differently in print and online, we will always rework content when it goes online. Shout out to our magazine designers who do a brilliant job. I love working with the highly illustrated and laid out pages, lovely. We want in print, we will have, a sort of a jaunty headline and lovely illustrations and some chat. And online, people read very differently. They want bullet points, they want the keywords up front, and short sentences. So we will often rework things quite significantly to make them more readable online. Obviously, we don't do that with resources, so our resources are as PDFs. You download them, that's it, that they're there. But if you've got a printed article, we will rework it to be more accessible online.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I think you give more attention to the printed word as opposed to the
You
digital
look
read.
at it there in front of you, whereas you tend to skim read more online, certainly, and just go down your different points and things jump out at you more.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I will flick as fast as I can and look for keywords and things and focus in on paragraphs and stuff so I can totally get that. Do you ever get authors responding to a previous article that someone has written? Like, say someone wrote an article in this edition and then someone else read that, and then would they have, does anyone ever come back and say, oh, I think this, or I would tweak it like this?
Not so I'm fairly new to the job. I started in the autumn, not since I've been working on the magazine. But I was actually thinking about this yesterday. So there's obviously discussions around, say, adaptive teaching is one thing. And I was interested in whether, items like that, if someone is reading it and they think, no, that's not how I'd do that. I think that's an interesting dialogue that you could have in print, certainly. I think if you do read something, and you think, actually, I'd do it this way, then by all means, let me know. And because that could certainly make for interesting content, I think, definitely.
Sometimes that's it's just you just need that trigger, oh, I feel this. Oh, I didn't realize how strongly I felt about this.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you're flicking through the magazine and you look at something and you think, well, I've done that completely differently, then yeah, absolutely let us know.
Do you have any final words of advice for any budding authors?
I think I would go back to my original thing of don't be afraid to put yourself forward. If you think you're not the sort of person who is a writer in a magazine, then you absolutely are. It's what we want is the voices of classroom teachers, and we want people who understand the classroom, are embedded in teaching, and want to share their practice with their colleagues. So that's really what we're looking for. Don't be afraid to just drop me an email or send a tweet. And the worst I can say is, well, maybe not this issue, it's not. And but chances are, I've had some really nice pieces recently from new authors who've never submitted an article in their lives and have just been naturals at it, but just wouldn't have thought to do that without a little bit of prodding, So yeah, have the confidence to do it would be my advice.
I think that's wonderful advice. I mean, that's certainly my target audience. It's those teachers who can but don't believe in themselves. It's very much, when I met with Kate Jones, we're talking about empowering women in education. I think, yeah, I've got teachers in mind who I'm thinking, right, I'm going to send this straight to them because I want them to believe in themselves.
And absolutely, if you, I mean, we talk about it all the time in children's books representation, but if you're you might not see yourself represented in print, you might think, oh, I'm not in the white man kind of, I need to be a white male to contribute to this. It's such a that representation is still lacking across media, isn't it? And I think, yeah, if you don't think you fit into what might be expected of an author, we absolutely are looking for you to contribute. We're looking for everyone who's a a passionate and committed teacher to send us and share with, send us advice and share their advice with us, I think. I went off on a ramble again.
No, rambles are encouraged. Rambles, I think it's
But
really
yes, I think definitely if you are not familiar with seeing people like you represented in the media you're consuming, then you know that we need to see more of you in our in what we're consuming, definitely.
Excellent. Yeah, like I said, I think that's brilliant. And fingers crossed that we can have even just a small impact on people's
Yeah,
confidence.
I think just sharing one small tip can change someone's day, can't it? You know, and what make things easier for them or better for their kids, you know, better for their class. And, you know, just one tiny thing can have such an impact for people. I think it's always worth giving it a go, definitely.
Excellent. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you very
Thank
much for
you.
joining me.
Thanks for inviting me. Thank you very much.
And I apologize for the amount of emails you're going to receive as a
No, I'm always on the lookout for people. And also, actually, something I didn't add was if you've got photos of an activity that you did with your class and you want to write about, I'm always looking for these sort of, you know, craft activities, practical activities. So anything fun or impactful that you've done, yep, send them all to me and I'll get back to you all, I promise.
And everyone at home, until next time, thanks for listening.